You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how he helps real estate investors scale to seven figures while working less.
That's right, Charles. And he'll also go into why making goals to help others more of a priority than your goals is so important, and why focusing on becoming the best at one particular thing is the key to success. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Hi, everyone. It's Charles Rose Jr. with Breakthrough Investor, where we help you break through that next level as an investor. With me today is William Palmer, real estate investor, coach, and the amazing co-host of Breakthrough Investor. William, brother, how fantastic are you doing today, man?
I am having a great day. Super excited, as always, to be here with you, Charles. I'm really excited for tonight's interview and really looking forward to diving into kind of his background, what got him started. And I understand that he's overcome a lot of adversity in his life, not just in real estate, but even before that. So really looking forward to diving into that.
Man, me too, man. This guy is so cool. So I literally met him at the My First Million in Multifamily conference earlier this year. And he was just so cool, man. He was just standing in the hallway meeting everyone. And I was like, this guy's down to earth, man. And we were just talking about just everything. And, you know,
those are
the
best conversations.
Those are the best conversations, just random conversations. And so I love it. But I realize he is a person of value, loves to give. In fact, he has, a really, really so cool thing, William. So he has an awesome Facebook group that he started, right? Which he's crushing it. And the name is Real Estate Wealth Builders. So I was asking him, I was like, hey, dude, I work with Dustin Heiner, run the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. Where'd you get that name from? Did you steal it? He was like, maybe. But it's just amazing. Two brilliant minds can come up with, a similar name. But, of course, it has its own spice to it, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Super looking forward to this. It seems like he had whatever it was. I don't know really what the catalyst was, but he took off at a pretty young age, retired his dad when he was 26 years old. And then he has a company that does 20 plus flips a year, commercial real estate and self-storage. And we've had a bunch of people that have done both as well. So it's super interesting to hear why those two avenues and then what led to that. And yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. He's just crushing it, man. Over 100 rentals. But man, I really want to hear from him, William. Seriously.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah. I think
I'm enjoying this, guys. You guys just keep rambling. This is great. I mean, it's
we're getting into my podcast, ego. Man.
Oh, yeah. No, man, he's awesome. But if you don't know who we're talking about, help me. Welcome to the show. Mike Menino, the second, right?
Yeah, the second.
The third. The second. Mike, what's up, brother? How fantastic are you doing this evening, man?
Doing very well. Thank you guys very much for having me, Charles and William. Having a blast. We were talking before we hit record and we're just laughing and joking that we need to crack open cocktails and do this podcast.
You got some with you, man? I
could probably scratch.
Yeah, my water for now. Maybe vodka. Who knows?
I had some carrot juice in here that my wife made, carrot and orange juice, Actually, I could have dropped some vodka in it, man.
There you go. But yeah. No, doing very well. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, just kind of reiterate that awesome intro. I got to take you guys everywhere with me and just intro me every time I enter in a new room. This guy's amazing. He's so cool. God, who is this guy? Yeah, so we buy, fix, and flip houses in Michigan. That's where I'm from. I've bought, fix, and flip 90 homes since really 2015 when I first got started. We own over 100 rental properties between Michigan, North Carolina, and Kentucky right now. And the cool thing is I moved to South Carolina 2 years ago. Charles and I were talking about this. And the last 2 years, I have not seen any of my single family fix and flips. I buy, fix, and flip. I don't even see them in person anymore, which is crazy. If you had told me 5, 6, 7 years ago that was possible, I would have said you are a liar. But and it's all because I have a really good team and systems and processes in place.
That's
so cool. So he moved to South Carolina. So William, like I was telling you, man, like so he invited me to come to his lake house in South Carolina. And so, you know, you shouldn't tell me, don't tell guys like me that, because if you tell me that, I'm going to take you up on it, man. You know,
absolutely. So, Mike, what got you really started in real estate? I know that you've like we mentioned kind of in the intro that you've had overcome a lot of adversity, like, and you had like a very serious illness as a kid that you overcame. And did that have we always like to talk about like mindset and mind shift, things that have happened and overcoming barriers and things like that. What kind of really got you started, and did some of that play into where you're at now?
That is a very, very good question. And yes, that. So what William is alluding to, at 13 years old, I was diagnosed with a disease called Crohn's disease. If you don't know, it's kind of like an ulcer in your stomach where like every time I ate, it would like really, really hurt. And I actually just, the pain of not eating was less than the pain of eating. So I just like lost a lot of weight. And when you are diagnosed with this, I was very blessed because this is a disease where, you know, you're on a colonoscopy bags, you got surgeries, living in the hospital. I know people have passed away from this disease. And that was a huge wake up call at a young age, because then I realized like life is actually very fragile. Because as a kid, you don't think about that, right? As a kid, you don't think that you can die, right? You know, as a kid, you can go like break your leg and then go run a marathon the next week because you like heal so quickly. Wolverine, right? And that taught me that life is very precious and we don't have a lot of time, because I met people who like passed away from this disease, right? And so I came across, there's a gentleman named Jack Canfield who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. It was a number one bestseller. And there's a movie and a book called The Secret. I watched the movie 18 times in 3 years, and because there was a lady in there who was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she healed herself without any medication, radiation. All she did was eat right, exercise, and have a very positive attitude and believe that she was already healed. And there's another gentleman who's a plane crash and is like paraplegic, and then he was able to walk. And having these examples, I said, okay, you know, if they can do it, let me try. I have literally nothing else to lose. Like if I try and it doesn't work, I'm in the same spot as I am today. But if I try and it does work, then great, you know, I'm healed. So for 3 years, I was going to the doctors. I was taking 16 different pills a day, a bunch of medications, and then I was on steroids. I gained a ton of weight and I'm short, so it didn't look good on me. It looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy. It went all to my face. But from 13, 16, I was going to the doctors. And at 16 years old, I just kind of cold turkey stopped. I don't recommend this. But now I'm 31 years old. So it's been 16 years. I have not been to the doctors. I haven't had any symptoms. I mean, this is a lifelong disease that, you know, an incurable disease that, you know, we've cured.
Wow.
So that taught me a lot at a very young age that, one, life is very fragile and we don't have a lot of time. And two, that if you put your mind to something and you truly commit, that you can do anything you want in this world.
Man, that is powerful, man. I love your story. And when we met, man, I did not know that about you, man. And, you know, so just hearing you share that testimony of everything you overcame, dude, is so inspiring, man. So on this journey, when you discovered, like, you know, life was short and you started going after your dreams, like, what did you first get into real estate or did you start doing other things first?
Great question. I've done everything. So I started very young. I feel like I've lived like multiple lives, even though I'm in my 30s. But, you know, so then right at 16 years old, I started working at McDonald's 20 hours a week, which is the legal limit, while going to school 35 hours a week. So I was putting in 55 hours a week, not including homework, right off the bat, because I had to pay for my car, my cell phone, my gas, my girlfriend. And I was broke. And I was like, oh, no, the girlfriend. And then at 17, I started bussing tables. 18, I started waiting tables. 19 years old, I actually bought my first foreclosed home in 2012 for $67,000. I got, if you're listening to this or you're young, you have young kids, I got what's called an FHA loan, where it's 3.5% down. I had my dad co-sign because I was waiting tables. I actually had decent credit. It was like in the 700s, but like with the income. So my dad never gave me money, but he did co-sign for the credit part. And so I bought the house and I did what was called house hacking before I knew what it was. It was a 3-bed, 2-bath house. It was foreclosed. There was a mold. There was like blood on the baseboard. And like, I'll never forget, like the day I closed the house, my dad's like, hey, let's go out to dinner and celebrate. I was like, I would love to, but I can't. I took 2 weeks off of work and I got two roommates moving in, like I already scheduled roommates in 2 weeks. I have to like paint and get new flooring and like get this thing rent ready. And I rented out each bedroom for $300 a month each, and the mortgage was $600. So I had two roommates who were paying for my mortgage. And if you kind of zoom out, like I'm 19 years old, I'm going to school, going to community college, working as a waiter. And now I own a property, I own an asset, I own a house, and I'm living outside my parents' house for free, a third of utilities. That's, you know, was my cost because they're paying my mortgage for me. While doing that, I was going through financial planning. I had my life and health license. I was studying for my securities license. I was selling t-shirts online. I got my mortgage license. I got my real estate license. Like I did all these licenses. I knew I wanted to become financially well off. I just wasn't sure what avenue to take. And I recommend too, like fail forward, fail fast. Like I tried a lot of different things. Like I said, online businesses and all these different licenses, and none of them really worked out. And then I sold my first house at like 22 years old for
$147,000.
Oh, wow. Good. So, yeah, no. Yeah, I made some money. I know. And I did all the work. So it was like just the materials, right? I tiled my bathroom. I fixed it all up. And this is another thing too. So I was driving around my first car, 2004 Malibu, no horn, no AC, gold. And it was rusted out because I'm from Detroit, Michigan. It was like salt everywhere. And I wanted the 2010 yellow black stripe Camaro Bumblebee from Transformers. That was the hot car, right? And I believe in delayed gratification. So actually, when I saved up that money, I saved up $14,500 to buy that house originally. And I put half toward the house and that $7,000 to my name. And I used that to fix the house up. And I could have bought the car back then, right? Because I had $14,000 and I lived at home with mom and dad. I could put that and put that toward the Camaro. And then, you know, I had like, after I paid like my credit cards off and like some debt off, I had like $60,000 at 22 years old. After I sold this house, everyone's like, are you going to get the car? Are you going to get the Camaro? Are you going to get Bumblebee? And I was like, nope, moved back home with mom and dad, humbled myself. And I bought another foreclosed house within 30 days.
Oh, wow.
And so I bought another one. We flipped it, bought another one, flipped it. And in 2017, I made a bet to my dad because so my dad, I love the guy. We're very close, but he does construction. And so we kind of partnered up. I was like, I'll find the houses and do all the other work. You just maintain like the contractors, make sure that they do what they're supposed to do because I don't understand the construction. They make sure they don't rip us off and make sure that they're working. So that was our relationship. And he was in his early 50s, late 40s at the time. And he would come home from work because he would leave at 7:30 in the morning, come home at 4:30. And he was the one hanging doors and cabinets and floors and trim. And he'd come home just like dead on the couch every day. And it was like heartbreaking for me to see that because I was like, you know, like I realized we don't have till 65 to work and then retire. Because I'm like, he's like not, I think he was like 48, 49 at the time. I was like, and he's like tired, right? I can see it. I was like, I was like, if, you know, me as like a trying to, you know, he was a great father. And I was like, morally, I cannot let him do this. So I made him a bet. I was like, all right, here's what's going to happen. If you make $100,000 a year working with me and you only work 20 hours a week and you don't do any of the manual stuff, you just maintain, watch our crews, make sure that they're doing their jobs, then you have to shut down your construction business because he owned it and you have to work with me. And I was like 24 at the time. And he was like, okay, you crazy kid, like that's not going to happen. And something I recommend when it comes to goal setting is make a goal outside yourself. Make a goal to help other people because you will push yourself way harder, faster, and further than you will for yourself. As humans, we do not want to disappoint other people, right?
Wow. Mike, that's
literally like, nobody has ever given us.
Yeah, that literally. That's like a golden nugget. I mean, and I could relate to that in so many ways. Like literally, like I felt like I, in my life, whenever the goal was to help somebody else, yes. Whenever it was for somebody else, like, you know, transparently, like I'm on this journey, like my fitness journey. And, you know, part of what's been keeping me up with it for almost 2 months now is having, you know, accountability partners, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't want to disappoint them.
That's it.
And so, my goodness, that Mike, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just was like, wow, that's really good. And William's so true that we haven't had anyone say that yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thought that kind of crosses my mind is, what did your parents think? All this was going on and you were living at home and doing all this stuff. Like, what did they think about all this stuff?
Good question. So, you know, when I was all, they definitely did. Because, you know, I was doing this online business. We were actually, my partner and I back then in 2016 wrote an Amazon best-selling book, and it took like a year. Like, we were working on our online business and I'm trying to flip houses. And you know, my father, it was very, we butted heads a lot in the beginning. So my father's very transactional. He's in construction. He works, he gets paid. He works, he gets paid. Because we were starting this online business. We wrote a book and then went on a bunch of podcasts to promote the book. Became a number one Amazon best-selling book for a few months. And he didn't see that. He's like, you're working for 9 months and how much money have you made? Right? I was like, no money. And he's like, go get a job. Like he was very short-sighted in that way. And then, you know, the book comes out, Amazon best-selling, and we had some success in our marketing business for a little bit. And he was like, so proud. He's like, oh yeah, that's so awesome, right? But going through it, you know, and even flipping houses, he did not want me to flip houses.
Yeah, he probably didn't want you to be like him. He probably wanted something more for you. That's what
he always said he didn't want me to work with my hands. He wanted me to work with my head because he worked with his hands. But he didn't also, doesn't, and I think most people struggle with this, like, because it takes a lot of time to go find like a foreclosed house, rehab it, fix it up, and at the end you hope you make a dollar at the end when you're done with it, right? It's a higher risk, higher reward game than going to get a 9-to-5 where you get paid every Friday. So it's like the employee versus entrepreneurial mindset. But once he started seeing some success, then he was able to get behind it. But in the beginning, and I think with a lot of people, if you're listening to this, like, and you have that inside of you, because I believe there's only 2 or 3% of the population who are actual entrepreneurs who are going to go out and do that. So you're going to be fighting against 97% of the people who love you, your parents and your friends and your family, who might not believe in your dreams, not because they don't want you to succeed, but they don't want to see you fail. And, you know, they don't believe that they can do it themselves. So another thing I recommend too is like, get surrounded by people who are at where you want to be and are doing the things you want to do. Like, my life changed when I was surrounded by people who were flipping 20 houses a year, 100 houses a year. When I met my first mentor, one of my first mentors, Don Costa, and he flipped 100 houses a year in California. I shook his hand. I talked to him for 5 minutes, and God bless him. Like, no, like, not being mean, but he's not that smart of a guy, which I was like, oh my goodness. Like, you don't need to be a rocket scientist for this. Like, I'm not a smart guy. And if he can do it, then I can do it. But I never met someone who was like a multimillionaire up to that point in my life. I never knew anyone. And to know someone who's like flipping 100 houses a year and he does it. And when I'm like, hey, I want to do, you know, 4 houses a year, he's like, that's so easy. Like, what do you, but if I talk to a normal person, say I want to do 4 houses a year, they're like, oh my God, that's like Mount Everest. You can never do that, right? You can never amount to that. So I recommend like surrounding yourself with people who are like at where you want to be, and that will make your life like way easier.
Yeah, that's so true, man. Well, William, like, you know, that's something that we were talking about not too long ago, and just being around the right people, being in the right communities helps you be successful. Now, Mike, you know, now we know that you created an amazing on Facebook, the Real Estate Wealth Builders community. Tell us more about that. Like, how did you start it? When you started? What was the backstory behind that, man?
Very good question. So I only started this like a year and a half ago. And there's a reason for that. So I am very focused individual. So to get to 20 houses a year, like flipping houses, we became one of the top 5 flippers in Michigan, right? And I'm the youngest by 20 years, right? Because I was in my late 20s when we got to that level. All I did, I flipped 40 houses before I bought my first rental. That's all I did. I became the best flipper. I focused before, because there's people, they try to wholesale, they try to flip, they try to do a BRRRR strategy, buy apartments, do land development and all these different things. And none of them are very successful. So I focused on flipping houses until I got to a point to where I was able to hire people and bring people in my company. So I was spending about 10 hours a week on it. And then I started the multifamily business in 2020. Now I got that to a point to where I've hired people and brought people in, and I spend less time on that. So now I spend about 5 hours per week on my fix and flip business, maybe like 15 to 20 hours per week on my multifamily business. And then I can spend the remaining time on the educational. So when I was fixing and flipping, people said like, can you coach me and teach me? And I had to say no. And I think a lot of people say yes too early because it was going to take away focus from my business, right? I had to get to a point to where, like, I don't even know if I think I lose money on the education business because I got like employees who help me, but I can afford to do that and have so much love to do that because people poured into me when I first started, and it changed my life, my parents' life, my employees' lives, changed everyone's lives around me. And I just want to give back. But I, you know, it's like when you're on an airplane and they say, like, when the masks drop, put yours on first before you put on someone else's next to you.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, I understand exactly what you mean. I think a lot of other people call that shiny object syndrome. Yeah. So they start chasing all those shiny objects, like, oh, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. And I mean, I'm just as guilty of it as anybody else. And mm-hmm. there's like 1,000 different things. It's like this week alone, I probably thought of 3 different businesses that would actually do really, really good.
Yeah.
But should I drop what I'm doing and go try to develop these businesses, make these businesses and like do it? Well, it's a lot of time. So staying focused is an absolute must.
Yeah. Cause you're competing against the world. So you got to remember, like, when I was a fix and flipper, or still am, but, you know, I was really in that business and I was one looking at the houses and, you know, like, I'm competing against everyone else who's doing mailers. I'm competing against everyone else who's doing driving for dollars, who's doing pay-per-click marketing, who's doing bandit signs, who are doing, like, I'm competing against everyone who's looking for a discounted house in Michigan, right? And I had to be the best and sharp of my skills, better than everyone else before I, cause if I was like, you know, doing okay, like at fix and flip, and I try to do something else, and then like my fix and flip business will die, and then the business I'm trying to start will, you know, just dies as well. So, yeah.
So how did you become the best, or of one of the best in your area? How did that happen?
Yeah, I wish there was like a like silver bullet to it, but
man, there's no like golden key.
I know, follow this path. You're gonna talk to this dude. You know, the red pill, blue pill. You take the red pill. No, you know, it, like I said, it's so when I set that goal for my dad, I literally worked from when my eyes opened to when my eyes shut for 4 years.
And I wanted, you were 22 when this happened, right?
Yeah, I was 22. I went full time at 24. So at 22 to 24, I was like still trying to sell t-shirts online, still try other things. 24, I was like, I'm going all in on fixing and flipping. This is all I'm doing. Everything else is going to take. And that's the thing too. And I learned that very young. Why focus is very important, William, because I tried to sell t-shirts online, try to flip houses, try to have an online marketing business, try to have my license, and none of it worked. So I was like, all right, none of this is working. 90% of millionaires have made through real estate. So why try to reinvent the wheel and just go toward real estate? Just go toward this thing. So I hired a mentor. His name was Justin Williams. I paid him $35,000, which I was like, you know, I'm going to school. I had credit card debt and a car payment and a house payment. And I was like, screw it. What's $35,000 more, right? This is better than school. And he taught me how to really run my business like a true business, not like a hobby, like how to raise capital, how to hire contractors and using contracts and like leveraging other people's money and just like putting systems in place instead of like me running to Home Depot and like doing everything myself. Because he told me the goal of the entrepreneur is to do nothing. The goal of the entrepreneur is to do nothing. And we as entrepreneurs get stuck thinking we need to do everything ourselves because we're better than everyone else. Mm-hmm. So it'll just be easier if I do it than to try to teach someone else how to do it, right? But the mm-hmm. truth is, if someone else can do it 80% as good as you, then have them do it. It's worth outsourcing it.
Yep.
So as entrepreneurs, we struggle with that. So I learned at a very young age because, like, again, like this is why I'm young, but I've had a lot of life experience with learning how to focus. So to answer your question, how we became the best, I became the best. I started direct mail. I became the best at direct mail. I spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've generated millions of dollars through just direct mail. And then we started driving for dollars. And now we're really good at driving for dollars. And then we started online pay-per-click marketing. And we work with wholesalers. And we put offers on the MLS. And, you know, Craigslist and Facebook, or anything that hits the internet, we are aware of it. I do online free courses of like, hey, how to find deals, right? And then that brings wholesalers to bring us deals, right? That's all I did. That's like eyes open to eyes shut. How can I get deals in the pipeline and get more houses? And that's how we became the best.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That's you really grinded hard for that, man. And I think like sometimes people, you know, they see the goal of being financially free and, you know, they don't realize that a lot of people that I speak to who are financially, they have to hustle and grind real hard to get to that point. And then once they get to that point, then they're able to, you know, do nothing essentially, right?
Yeah, it's like everybody wants to take that pill and just skip the hard work part and just get to the benefits of that hard work.
Yeah, it's the not sexy thing, but which is also very good because, again, like, you know, there's this Will Smith video. He's like, I will outwork anyone. He's like, if we're on a treadmill together and it's you and me, he's like, I will die on the treadmill before I get off. Right. Mm-hmm. And I love that. It, like, So, you know, at 16 years old, I was putting in 55 hours a week. I did that until I was about 28 years old. And I was doing like, you know, more 60, 70 hours a week. But I was used to that. I did that for 11 years. And then, like you said, so once you become the best, you know, you start making good money. It took a while. But then, like, I gave up my 20s. I went to community college. I was fixing up moldy houses. I did not go to college parties. I didn't go to a lot of concerts. All I did was work. So that is the trade-off, right? But I realized, like, hey, I'd rather do this in my 20s than 30s, 40s, and 50s, 60s, and so on.
So now, how does your 30s look, man? What's the life in the 31-year-old Mike Menino looks like?
I still work a lot. I started working.
We kind of figured that.
Yeah, it's like, I know. I feel like I lie to myself. You know, I'm like, I'm going to take some time off, and I never do. No, I take time off. No, life is very good. I work on my schedule, which is all the time. But, like, we're very blessed, man. You know, like, I probably started working at 8 a.m. and now it's 7 p.m. So it's like, I don't know how many hours that is, but I love doing that. And then tomorrow, like I told you, Charles, like, I'm leaving. I'm going on the boat at 1:30 tomorrow.
Nice.
Like, you know, like, I'm able to, like, I'll do long hours and, like, long days. But then, like, on Friday, if it's like my rule, if it's sunny and 80 degrees, I'm going on the boat. So usually the winters, I get a lot of work done. And then, like, the summers, I'm like, I got to get my tan back.
I got to join you tomorrow for that tan, man.
Exactly. We're there a few days a week now.
What you laughing at?
Free sunscreen?
Why are you laughing, William, man?
Oh, man, I get cherry red. I burn. So.
Well, in the sun, I get a roast.
Yeah. But yeah, life's very good. And then it's really cool. Like in the winters, I started doing this at 28 years old, really, with my girlfriend. Because I'm from Michigan and I'm supposed to be in shorts and t-shirts, not in like pants and jackets. So. From Christmas for about, depends, 4 to 6 weeks we leave. We were in Florida, Aruba, cruises. We traveled all of Florida. Like even here, like South Carolina, it still gets a little chilly. So like we traveled for 6 weeks, which is awesome. And we're still able to work on our businesses. And I'm very, very blessed to have that. And we've only been doing that for the last 3 years or so, but that I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for the time that I have, the time freedom, like going on the boat tomorrow. Like I have a house on the lake, so nice house, but it's not like a mansion, right? I have a nice car, but it's not like a Ferrari. So I really value time freedom more than like the physical things. Like I like going for 6 weeks in the winter to go work, going on the boat at 1:30 on a Friday to go hang out on the boat. So that's like, I am very, very grateful and happy for that. I feel like I'm made of. People are like, what's the definition of your success? And I feel like the time freedom is definition of success.
That's a blessing, man. That's awesome, man. Man, this has been absolutely amazing, man. Maybe we missed something, Mike. Is there anything that you would like to share to help our audience to become a breakthrough investor just like you?
I think we covered a lot of it, which is focus on one thing until you're extremely successful at it. If you want a wholesale, become the best wholesaler. Fix and flipper, the whatever strategy you choose. Million ways to make $1 million in real estate, but just become the very best at it. Right. Mm-hmm. And like even like more and get granular, become like, you know, my fixing flipping business, we do the first time home buyers houses. We do 1,000 to 2,000 square feet and up to an ARV of $350,000. So we don't do luxury because I don't know that market. Like even as a fix and flipper, I've had people like, hey, here's this like deal. You can make like $150,000 on them. I don't know that market because you need different contractors. You need different materials. You know, you got to, and it's a higher risk threshold as well. So just become the very, very best at whatever you're doing and surround yourself with people who are at where you want to be and make your goals around other people's success. And you become very successful.
Dude, I love that, man. And people who are listening, they want to know how I could, you know, hang out more with Mike. How can I hear more of him? How can I find him? How can I reach him? What's the best way for people to find you online, man?
Yeah, so you can go to our website. So it's rubuilders.com, B-U-I-L-D-E-R-S. So it's hyphenated, R-U-B-U-I-L-D-E-R-S. I give away a lot of free stuff. There's a free resource button, how to flip a house and make $55,000, a whole walkthrough video, how to wholesale a 28-unit apartment building and make $175,000, whole walkthrough video. My free Facebook group, the Real Estate Wealth Builders, click the link, join that. You have to answer all three questions or my admin won't let you in. We have 600 people pending trying to get in, but we keep away all the spammers out. And then if you want to learn how to buy, fix and flip houses like I do and really replicate my business, on our website, there's a button, Work with Mike, and you can book a one-on-one call with me.
That's awesome, Mike. Well, it's so good having you on the show, man, and looking forward to seeing you again. Enjoy your time on the lake tomorrow, man. I wish I could be there with you. I have some other plans, but next time. And man, you're awesome, man. Continue being who you are, brother.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike.